Black Girl Roundtable.
Hello, everybody. My name is Dana.
I'm Jelena.
And I'm Asha.
And this is Black Girl Roundtable. Hey, how are you guys today?
I'm still alive.
I'm still alive. No, for real, that really is actually the theme of my week. I just finished a long week of events for my job, and I'm so tired and so burnt out. I'm actually taking a half day Friday, so that part of my day. Honestly, I might just take the whole day. The whole day because, like,
you deserve it.
I'm burnt out. So today I took for, like, resetting, like, my whole work stuff because I just have been neglecting everything else except for these events. What else happened? But that's about it. I'm ready to be outside again. I have not been outside in so long.
The only thing that makes me feel better after a horrible week is looking at how other people in society continue to be horrible and fail at life. So let's go ahead and transition into what's trending and look at the lives of the wealthy and often annoying. All right. So starting off, where do we start this week? Let's start with the big one and move. Let's start off with a continuation of what we were discussing last week. So Kendrick Lamar has released another diss track. For those of you who have not seen it, experienced it, essentially, like we talked about last week, if you have not listened to episode 62, definitely go back, listen to our hilarious analysis of Rap Beef 2024. But in short, Kendrick released a diss track. Everybody went crazy. Everybody was in it. Diss compilation album, et cetera, et cetera. Drake released a response track, and now Kendrick has responded to the response in the most Gemini song I have ever come across in my life. Let's pull a couple of those lyrics, shall we? So Kendrick says, "I hate the way that you walk. I hate the way that you talk. I hate the way that you dress. I hate the way that you sneak this. If I catch a flight, it's going to be direct. We hate the bitches you fuck because they confuse themselves for real women. And notice it's not we, it's not just with the culture I'm feeling. How many more fairy tale stories about your life till we had enough? How many more black features till you finally feel that you're black enough? I like Drake with the melodies. I don't like Drake when he act tough. You go make a nigga bring back Puff. Let me see if Chubbs really crashed some. Yeah, my first one's like the last one."
I can agree. I definitely like Drake with the melodies.
Same.
I definitely like that part.
He said, "I hate the way that you walk. I hate the way that you talk." He just said, "Nigga."
And I'm going to say, shout out to him, because that is a direct a little homage to DMX, because DMX went on the Breakfast Club and was like, "I hate that nigga."
Nigga said, "I hate him. Everything about him. I hate the way that he..."
"I hate his haircut. I hate his face." And I was like, yo.
And you know, bring back real hating, because I'm here for it. I hate when people be like, "Oh, it's no hate, all love and light." I don't hate anybody. No. I hate quite a few people. There are actually a lot of people that I hate.
And people are like, "Oh, no bad blood." No, the blood is bad, and I'm okay with that.
Let me tell you, Taylor Swift, "I don't like you, but you did your big one with, 'cause baby, now we got bad blood." We do.
Mm-hmm. The Swifties, I tell a Swiftie every time, "I'm not a Taylor Swift girl, but I do like bad blood." And they're like,
especially the Kendrick remix.
Yes.
Bad blood.
About to say.
Now we got problems.
Now we get it, and I don't think we can solve them.
So take a look at what you've done.
Hey.
Okay. Taylor, you did your big one with that one. Anyway, he continues. "This is a classic. You don't have one. You let your core audience stomach that. Didn't tell them where you get your abs from." The BBL allegations continue. Mm. There's also a line somewhere in here where he's like, "I'm not looking up information on you to make a diss track because I'm too busy parenting my son, but you wouldn't know anything about that, would you?"
"You wouldn't know anything about that one." I said, "Ooh."
Gaspity, gaspity, gasp.
I said, he don't parent Adonis? Oh my God. No, and that poor little white baby's hair.
That poor child. That French young man.
Right. Parlez-vous français? You better leave that child alone.
I mean, so Drake has since responded. I believe, like, at time of recording today, he has gotten on Instagram and posted that clip from 10 Things I Hate About You, where Julia Stiles is like, oh, I hate the way you walk. I hate the way you do blah, 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 blah. But most of all, I hate the way that I don't hate you, which I did chuckle a little bit, Drake. I cannot lie. That was just this much funny.
I did that, but you're not going to make one of my favorite teen movies into your little comeback when you should just be in the booth. You should, in fact, just be rapping. That was cute if, like, you were, you know, one of us and going back and forth on social media. But you have a thing to do called rapping, and I would prefer if you did that.
Correct. Mm-hmm. As a Gemini, I just really appreciate Kendrick Lamar for so many reasons. I feel like y'all really be trying to give us, oh, Geminis are like Kanye, Geminis are this or that. No. Kanye is a special brand of crazy. We are like Kendrick Lamar because it's actually vengeance and anger, and then I'm going to get it all out, and then I'm going to move on.
Now, I will say I do know some wild-ass Geminis who've done some wild-ass shit.
Like, I know some wild-ass everybody.
Right, exactly. But that's just really, I think those people who are descended. I mean, any sign that you get, there's ascending and descending. If you get a descending Gemini, they are the actual worst.
Correct. Descending Aries. Very brilliant.
Yeah.
When we want to. And Kendrick is all the traits that people say about Geminis are bad, but like he embodies them for good, but also sometimes for his own selfish purposes when he needs to. And this is a great example of that. Yes. Don't play in my face.
Very much like, oh, okay. By the way, I hate you. And I went to exactly all the reasons why.
I hate your fucking guts. I think Kendrick is also, there's two parts of our chart. His and mine are the same. And I was like, this makes so much sense. I can't remember if it's his moon or his rising. But where he was just like, I hate all of you. Correct.
And I love how he also was like, stop saying nigga. I would really appreciate that if he would let's just stop saying nigga. How about that, white man?
Nah, I still stand firm on y'all. I still feel like y'all want to talk about these abs now, but did nobody want to talk about these abs when Megan said it? Because truth be told, I feel like she ate that up a little bit better than Kendrick did.
The same scars, y'all. The same scars.
Listen, fake ass accent posted in another nigga
like a bad bitch. Oh, and Barbs, I know you guys are like a little bit more elevated because Nikki's on tour right now, and I think that's love that. Great for you guys. Bigfoot was not a good diss. And I want y'all to be so fucking for real. And a lot of y'all talk about some. Nikki still had the best diss out of. No, she did not.
No.
Stop lying. It's okay if that's your fave. That is okay. My fave rappers have not always had the best disses. Like, again, this is like during like. I wanted Meek Mill to stand up so goddamn bad during that back-to-back era. Oh my gosh,
we all
you don't understand. Back-to-back. You don't understand. As a Meek Mill fan, I was. And as a Drake fan, I was pissed. He got you.
At no point did anybody was like, you know who gonna win this battle?
Drake.
No. Not against a battle rapper.
Not against a battle rapper. And like, even us, as Meek Mill fans, we even said, damn, that nigga Drake won.
And it hit.
I'm about to say Meek said Drake won. He said, every time I heard back-to-back in the club, I wanted to shoot that nigga. Yeah, you should have. You should have because
we were singing that shit with everything in our chest. And shout out to all my boss bitches, wife and niggas.
You get embodied by us
with the prenup.
You get embodied by a singing nigga. Damn, you get
embodied by singing. Oh,
is that a world tour or your girls
tour? Oh,
he did not.
We just don't have to lie. We don't have to lie about the quality of the diss tracks. Now, that's not taking anything away from Nicki. What's it called? What is that song? Roman's Revenge. In my opinion, the best diss track ever made.
Yeah.
And it's against two of my faves, Nicki and Mariah.
And you to put her arch nemesis on the song too. It's even better. I didn't even think about that part. Okay. You put your arch nemesis on here.
And I love Mariah Carey down. I'm a lamb to the day I die. But he got you. He ate you up. And there's nothing we can do about that.
was about to say, first tangent of the night, talking about getting bodied by a singing nigga. Why did Chris Brown have to come for Quavo like that?
I see, that was not nice.
It was.
I said, you did not have to say that.
It wasn't.
That was not nice. I didn't like that. I said,
sir. That talk man about is somebody going low. You go low, I go to hell.
I said, see.
I said, Chris, what did he do to make that nigga that mad?
What did he do to make that? And that one came from so left field. That one came from so left field. I said,
and y'all fighting over a girl who don't fuck with neither one of y'all.
Either one of you guys.
And Chris, I said, what, like, are we doing? I said, like, whoa. It's a on the principle type of thing. Like, he not gonna fight me. Sir, you're 35.
And it was one of those things. You were in high school. I don't know if this happened at y'all's high school, but you were in high school where you would see one fight, and y'all knew all day that fight was brewing, and it was a few people, yes. Mm-hmm. One friend group versus one friend group, and you knew they were gonna fight. But then randomly, once that fight is going on, someone else is fighting across the yard. It's like, whoa, when did they start beefing? Why are they fighting? That was what the Quavo and Chris Brown beef was for me. I said, no, what?
It came out of nowhere.
I'm about to say, I do have a question for y'all because I have been seeing some discourse on the interwebs.
Okay. So
a lot of people are kind of calling Kendrick out, saying like it's a double standard of like you're calling, I'm trying to think of how to phrase it, like the same thing you are condemning him for being like a white man and the BBL allegations is the same women most of y'all are going after Kendrick, who is married to someone or engaged, whatever, to someone who is the female version of Drake. So it's like, how you saying all this stuff, but then not just Kendrick, everybody, but how are y'all saying these things? And y'all literally go after this. If his name was Drea, y'all be going after him.
So I will give Kendrick a pass for two reasons. First reason, because Kendrick has called out in his lyrics before that he likes a natural girl. He's tired of the Photoshop, tired of the plastic surgery. I like regular bitches. And he has also consistently put dark-skinned women of all shades, in his music videos. So for that, gotta give him thumbs up. And then also, he has been with his girlfriend, fiance, baby mom, whatever cat classification
she has.
I think
they're married.
Okay, so wife. So he's been with his wife since they were in high school. So they have been together for a long time. So yes, she is light-skinned, but she is a long-term light-skinned. So it's a bit different.
And that does make a big difference.
It does
difference.
Make a difference. He's not like how I call it Hollywood light-skinned.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I got on and now let me get
a Kardashian. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. This is just the light-skinned girl from around the way. We all know her.
She just happens to be light-skinned.
Right. And so even if Kendrick is like in that genre of colorism, etc., unlike the rest of y'all motherfuckers, we will never know.
Right. If he is very discreet, if he is.
Good job.
And there it
keep
is.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah,
and
I won't be in your business unless you put me in it.
Right. Keep it to yourself if that's the case. So I'm not for this again. Not again.
Right. Yeah. No, but good question.
I will say about that too. You make really good points. But one thing that he said was because she is part of the same upbringing, lifestyle that he came from, right? The problem with Drake is Drake want to act, you know, gangsta rap when he want to act gangsta rap. He want to act like he from everywhere in the diaspora. And he's not. And I think that's also the problem. Like, you grew up with a white mama. You were a child actor. Like, be for real. I think that's really what it is. So, well, part a big, big part of it.
Well, Kendrick, no notes.
Good job.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Can't wait to listen to it again after the show, right?
Honestly. And I'm ready for the next album. This will be our first album outside of TDE. So I'm interested to see what it gives. Okay. So moving on, let's go ahead and talk about Amanda Seales. So by now, I think most of you will have seen clips of Amanda Seale's interview with Shannon Sharpe. She is the latest guest on his Club Shay Shay show. Another very long, 3 hours and some change interview that she did on his show discussing a multitude of things. She discusses her life, her upbringing, her experiences with racism in and outside of the industry. She talks about her parentage. She talks about her experiences in Hollywood as a Black woman, being a part of Black Hollywood, being isolated from Black Hollywood. And of course, very notably, her experiences as a cast member of Insecure and with Issa Rae and her team. Amanda discusses a lot of controversial, difficult, I don't know what the word is, things. If you have not watched it, I encourage you to don't listen to the whole thing, child. Lord knows I didn't. But hop on TikTok, get the Cliff's Notes, and come back because we're going to dive into a couple of things. So first thing I think we can talk about is just our initial, I think at least for me, it's so difficult to figure out how to approach this or how to broach it. So what are our initial thoughts on the interview? What were our initial reactions? Do we feel like this was a good space, a good thing for Amanda to do? Do we feel like this was misguided? What are we thinking?
I understand the sentiment of meeting people where they are in terms of media and getting your message across. I totally get that. I just think sometimes if the interviewer themselves is not doing the work to educate themselves or even are really good interviewers, I just don't know if your intentions are going to be what the impact is. And that was my problem with this. I just felt as though, like, okay, like, this is meme worthy. And I think you're saying some really important things. I think that could start people having different conversations or thinking of things like, or asking the right questions. But I was just also kind of like, oof. It was also just very cringe in terms of like Shannon Sharpe and his questions or his back and forth or the way that he like presented certain ideas or he reacted to certain things.
I mean, to me, I just felt like it was unnecessary. I don't know, my thoughts was just unnecessary. Like, what do you gain from saying this? Like, I get it, it's your truth, you say what you're gonna say, but to me, it's, you've already had this reputation of people not liking you, and then you're gonna pit yourself against someone who everyone, air quote, likes. And so to me, it just was odd. Like, what did you need to say this? Because if this was any other workspace, like, would this have really been that deep to be like, I'm going to do a whole, and stop going on Club Shay Shay. Oh my gosh, please stop.
Oh my gosh.
Like, please, first of all, stop going. Why y'all keep going to him? Like, I feel like he is just like,
he's not equipped.
He's not equipped. I don't understand why he has a show. I just, none of it, I understand why is the interview so long? Like, I just, what is going on? It's just a lot going on in general. Like, cut that thing down, first of all, because I'm not watching all that. One. Two, like I said, I just felt like it was unnecessary to kind of bring it up. Like, I don't know, maybe if this was on the tail of Insecure ending, this may have been received a bit, I would have received this a bit differently. But we're like 2-3 years post this. It's like, move on. Let it go. If this was corporate America and you was like, oh, me and so-and-so beefing, they don't like me. Okay, they don't like you. It's weird.
I'm 100% with you there. Number one, people who go on Shannon Sharpe's show want to be interviewed by themselves. So you go on Shannon Sharpe's show.
They want to tell them story and that's it.
To talk.
You don't want to be challenged. You want wide reach. You want eyes and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't want to be interviewed. You want a platform and you don't want to be challenged. So there's that. And because of that, I'm not, I'll pivot a little bit. There was a moment on the show that I think is going viral that's really detracting from what I think we should be talking about with Amanda, but where like Shannon Sharpe says something uneducated and stupid about Amanda's lineage and then also her experience with racism. And we're like, oh my God, how could Shannon Sharpe diminish a Black woman like that? Da, 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 da. It's Shannon Sharpe.
Right.
If you went on Shannon Sharpe's show and did it and thought he was going to uplift Black women and their experiences with racism, you're a day late and a dollar short.
The man who like white ladies?
Right.
Correct. And the blackest woman he likes is Nicole Murphy.
Crazy.
let's be so serious. So this may be an unpopular opinion or a hot take. I don't care nothing about that. I'm sorry he hurt your feelings. I'm sorry he invalidated your experience. He shouldn't have done that. But also, it's Shannon Sharp.
I was like, I'm not going to a cactus for comfort. That's all I'm right. saying.
Come on now. As far as Amanda's experiences on Insecure with Issa Rae and with Black Hollywood, people are like, oh, well, if everybody doesn't like you, y'all are saying that she's the problem. But sometimes everybody dislikes you and you're not the problem. Yes, that can be true. I don't know if I think that's what's going on here. I'm not saying that Amanda is the issue, but I don't think she is blameless in how she engages with her peers.
Right. Yeah,
I can agree with that.
Yeah, I think sometimes you really do like have to take a look in the mirror and say, I might not be telling a lie, or I might be right in my intentions to spread the truth, but I may be doing it in a way that is off-putting, or I'm not using discernment to know when and where to do certain things at. And now I'm not saying that you should like silence yourself for the sake of Hollywood, not at all. But I'm saying like, you also have to look at your environment and say, what is the best and most effective way to get this specific message across? And that's the thing, that you have to be quiet, you have to be docile. That's just saying, is me being rah-rah, open the door, blast out, the best way every time?
And sometimes you don't have to be the person to tell that right. truth.
Right. At the end of the day, like acting, it could always seem like, oh, it's a family, we all love each other. But it's like,
it's work.
It's a job. It's work.
It's a job. It's a job. And y'all don't have to be friends. I know you sell the idea of we're friends and the set and the family and Insecure. And it's nice to think about that. But it don't have to be that way because you're at work. And to move on to the Issa part of it, Issa is your boss. She's your boss. She's the publicist, boss, client, whatever. And I guess like something she said was like, oh, Issa didn't protect me on the set of Insecure. And I'm just like, what protection are you looking for? Is my question. Like, what protections were you looking for that she didn't offer? Outside of her publicist was mean to you.
Right. Unless it was blatantly going upside your head. Like, stop being mean to her.
You were employed for 5 seasons.
Right. Unless there's some like HR ethical stuff that's going on that maybe if, and I know, I understand it sucks. Like, everyone else gets along on a certain level and you just haven't, it hasn't clicked for you. I understand that that feels really bad, but at the same time, like that sometimes is like, you know what, it is what it is. I'm just get through this season, whatever. And yeah, like
let it be. Yeah.
And let it be. But you know, I do think that outside of that, Amanda Seales is very intelligent. I think she has an eye and she is able to articulate certain social, political subjects that are going on in a very, very intelligent way. But again, like I said, I just don't think that Shannon Sharp was where you need to go to do that. Shannon Sharp, The Breakfast Club, I don't understand why y'all keep going on those shows for dialogue, and you're not gonna get it, not the way that you think it you may get it, Shannon. Like
the people in the industry, particularly the Black men that Amanda Seales in the industry aligns herself with, I gotta call your bluff, because you did go on Club Shay Shay, you are often on The Breakfast Club, you're often engaging with Charlamagne and DJ Envy, you're often engaging with men in the music industry, where I'm questioning.
Exactly.
And yeah. So it's not necessarily that I'm going to hold this against you forever. And to be very clear, as somebody who also has a master's degree, while your degree does make you an authority in a lot of senses, it does not make you the only expert, especially when you are in a humanities or a social sciences field like African American studies.
It's not. And I feel like that is where one of her blind spots is as well. And a lot of people who go on these shows, that's where their blind spot is. You think that your educated perspective is somehow objective. And for the most part, it's not. You know, there are objective perspectives in terms of like race, social, political, you know, economic, you know, policies and, you know, things of that nature. But a lot of it is really perspective, important perspective, and it helps us push the needle forward, mm-hmm. but it is perspective. But when you go on shows like Club Shay Shay and The Breakfast Club, I don't think people are going to be able to fully grasp your perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. Not on the same level as she is, at least.
I hate to quote R. Kelly, but is this camera on me? Use your common sense. And so it's not that I don't like Amanda. I hope she can find spaces to do what she wants to do.
And we can have the conversation of like, was the set unprofessional at times, and Issa Rae should have like been a bit more intentional about a respectful, intentional space of work, a safe space of work? Sure. I think that's a conversation that's worth having. But, you know, like you said, this is clearly a sore spot for Amanda, even after a few years. I still think it's good to, like, even if it has been a few years, to still tell your story if you feel like you've not been heard. So I don't really care about the time, but I do think it's interesting that, like, you told us this story before, and we've had our rebuttals, and we've had our, like, well, girl, and it's, like, I don't think it's pushing, I don't think, it's not that we don't hear you, it's that we just don't agree.
Yeah. So. And what... And I'm genuinely asking, because maybe I haven't come across this part of the interview. Was she saying that something was happening unprofessional on the set? Like, I remember her story about the Black Emmys party, which we'll talk about in a minute. But on the set, at work, did she denote anything that you all saw of, like, this was not...
I did not see anything where she physically saw something that was, like, very unprofessional that could lead to, like...
As we said, she is your boss. Yeah. Your castmates are your coworkers. You are not, you don't have to be friends with your coworkers. If they don't like you, I'm so sorry.
Mm-mm-mm. Anyway, I think that'll wrap it up for anything else to say about this interview, Club Shay Shay. Stop going on that show.
Shut the show down.
No, it's too long and he's not doing nothing.
If you get invited to do an interview in a room with brown leather couches and a fireplace, you should leave.
And I like a good brown leather couch in a fireplace, but that's for sipping hot toddies.
If somebody's like, let's do a serious interview about your life and your career, if you invite me into a room with brown leather couches and a fireplace, you're trying to get me out of my panties. That's my immediate
thought.
Thank
you. That's what, I'm glad I'm not the only person who thought that. This is very seductive.
Unless you have some books to where you like a dark academia look, that's fine, but I don't be seeing no books.
Mm-mm. You trying to educatedly get me out of my panties. You're trying to have intellectual discussion and have my shit fall to the flow.
Exactly. It's a reason he be having them big bottles of Hennessy and whatnot.
Whiskey and Hennessy and stuff and shit like that.
Listen, game recognizes game, and you did not pull one over me, okay? Mm-mm. It made sense when you had Cat Williams on the show. Y'all both old and weird.
Even with Monique, I got it.
Yeah. Old and weird.
Yeah.
And that other nigga, he's not old, he's just weird.
Well, like, now we just get
some young guy talking about blue hearts. And I send my girl blue hearts every... Stop going on that show. And I understand our Black media platforms are limited, but Amanda, you also have a podcast that does pretty well. And a book.
Right. I'm about to say, girl, you have the platforms and you have actually an audience who listens to you.
You do.
Exactly. So I don't know why you feel the need to keep doing this.
Because you wanted to say it louder. Anyway. Moving on to our final topic for what's trending. We can keep this one brief, because we are running a bit long. What else is new? Let's talk about Miss Jilly from Philly. So the long of the short, Jill Scott unprovoked got on Twitter one day, like last week, and essentially just felt like she needed to give Chris Brown her flowers and said, who's singing like this? Who's dancing like this? who's acting like this? Chris Brown is a talent. And I'm paraphrasing a lot. Rightfully so, as people who have ever heard of Chris Brown and all the things he's done over the past decade were like, Jill, this is not it, girl. And she was like, I don't care. We all make mistakes. He deserves to be recognized for his talent, blah, 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 blah. And people were rightfully upset with her. She also gave this very weird analogy, essentially like giving flowers to her and her mother's abuser by saying, like, trying to compare Chris Brown to him, like, oh, my mother's husband was the best bricklayer in the city and he abused us for years, but it didn't matter because he was a great bricklayer. And folks were like, Jill, that's the problem, girl. Like, that's what we're saying is wrong. So I don't think I need to ask us how we feel about this. Like, we all know it was strange. I guess just like, what do we think about when like legends and people that we respect, like Jill Scott, feel the need to just go out on a limb for people like Chris Brown? Like, what do we do with our love for them in these situations?
It's not like I'm going to cancel Jill Scott. I don't think that there's a need for that, unless like you just feel that way and then that's your prerogative. But I'm always just like, now why is this the hill we're dying on? This is a very anti-generational thing of wanting to protect Black men in a sense and be like, oh, but the world is after them and da 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 da. And I think we can have that conversation. I think that's fair. But at the same time, it's like we can also hold the men in our community accountable for their actions without having to uplift them despite everything.
Yeah. I struggle with what to do with people who feel the need to continue to platform abusers. Like, you're not an abuser, but you also have a significant platform, so you're giving this person space and you're social enabling capital to continue the behavior.
And it makes victims not want to say anything. Like, if you're famous and that they love this person, it makes you be like, okay, well, maybe I just shouldn't say anything because I feel like if this person loves that person regardless of what they've done, me saying anything is not going to be good. And that just enables the abuse. So that's why I'm like, can y'all just shut the hell up? Can y'all listen to him in the peace and quiet of your own homes without having to like stan him like publicly so bad? Like, that's what enables him to continue to do what he does.
And it's just a sense of like, number one, everybody's like, oh, he made one mistake. Chris Brown has been choking bitches out for the greater part of a decade. Like, let's acknowledge that. He has been very violent for many, many years now. And I don't even say that as an exaggeration. We have literal footage of him choking Karrueche, which is very unfortunate. And that was not that long ago. But then it's also the sense of like, what we're also not going to do, Jill, is lie. Who acts like this? Who danced like this? Who sings like this? Chris Brown could dance his ass off. That is true. I will give you that. He is a fabulous dancer, fantastic dancer. Mm-hmm. Are there other people who dance just as well as Chris Brown? Absolutely. Who acts like Chris Brown? Many people.
Okay. Right. I can't act like Chris Brown, in all honesty. Like, girl, okay. He's not.
Chris Brown got what? Three films? Stomp the Yard, This Christmas, and whatever that one dance battle movie
Takers.
Was.
Oh, I was going Takers.
Oh, yeah, Takers.
I wasn't even
Takers.
Thinking of that one, yeah.
Yeah, and it was fine. It was cute. You did better than T.I. Low bar.
I like the beat.
Yeah, thought it was good. I like the beat. And then who sings like Chris Brown? I think we need to have a conversation, and we talked about this as we were prepping for this episode. We need to develop a list of male R&B singers who really can't sing like that. And Chris Brown has some notes. I'm not going to say he can't sing, but it was never given, like, I don't know, Luther Vandross.
No.
Right.
Not by any stretch of the imagination. And he had a lisp for, like, the first, like, 5 years.
So. Got my attention. You're making like, me want to say yes.
Yes.
Shout out to whoever got him to fix that, though. Whoever put him in the speech therapy, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I got him a vocal coach or something.
I thought
thank you.
I was going insane because I was hearing it. And I'm like, nobody else has ever mentioned this in my entire life. but I'm glad. No, because it was, it's been decades and people act like that has, that was not a thing. And I'm like, so is it just me hearing this? I must be off a little bit, but thank y'all.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this portion of the episode. We're going to take a quick break and we will be back with something you need to hear.
What's up, you guys? It's Dana from Black Girl Roundtable here with a reminder to make sure that you are rating the podcast wherever you are listening. It really helps us out, helps other people discover the show, and helps us grow our community to be even bigger and better. Please also make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an update. And let's jump back into today's episode.
All right, we are back. Ask Black Girl Roundtable. As usual, if you have a question, you can feel free to send it to us in our various areas. So, today, another one coming from the lawless land of Twitter. It's more of a story with like a very small question. It's a journey, because at no point when I was reading this did I know where it was actually going.
It's the journey.
It is. If you are a fan of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, you are going to go on 1,000 face journeys through this. Because I was like, what the hell is going on? All right, okay, I hope I'm not overselling it, but I really was confused this whole time. But yes, shout out to @6brownchicks on Twitter if you want to go read the rest of their craziness. Just if you haven't gone on there as many times as we've done these, please, because it is entertaining every Wednesday. But all right. It says, I'm naming names today. Oh, Chloe, 22, my former coworker, offered me $300 plus gas and food to drive her across country from Oklahoma to Los Angeles so she can move in with Ryan, her long distance boyfriend.
Hold on. I'm lost already. I'm starting.
I'm lost. I was like, maybe I'm just not. Maybe it's me.
My brain, from the beginning again. I'm sorry. Maybe I wasn't paying attention hard enough.
Chloe, so this person's former coworker offered them $300 plus gas and food to drive Chloe across country from Oklahoma to Los Angeles. That's not across country, but that is a long drive, but whatever.
Okay. $300 is a little low for that, but all right.
Yeah. Plus food and gas. Yeah. So I guess it weighs itself out. Maybe. Gas is expensive on the West Coast, so sure.
Okay.
So that Chloe can move in with Ryan, her long distance boyfriend.
Okay.
I'm here.
I like Chloe. I knew she was mentally off, but she talked my ear off about Ryan. So I had to do my part for their love story. She rented a U-Haul that didn't have anything in it, and we hit the road. I told y'all, strange that she didn't talk to Ryan during the long drive. She said we were surprising him. Oh, shit. But wait, there's more. Trust me when I tell you, you don't know where this is about to go. And you'll be like, what? Anyway.
She's surprising you.
Okay. Right. Anyway, he drives to work and he's always busy. We were near New Mexico when Chloe... Oh, Lord. When Chloe revealed that her long-distance boyfriend is actually a celebrity crush that she hasn't met in real life yet. Oh, and the Ryan that we are talking about is not Ryan Gosling. Oh. Yeah. I'm not even done because it just get crazier. Okay.
The married Ryan Gosling.
The married with kids Ryan Gosling. I'm just Ken Ryan Gosling. La La Land. Ryan Gosling.
As if Eva Mendes is not sitting right there.
Ryan Gosling.
Ken?
Wow. Okay. He's just Ken Ryan Gosling. Yes.
I am Knuff. Okay.
He is Knuff. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so it's Ryan Gosling. Oh, and we're going to drive around LA and sleep in the U-Haul until we find him. Oh, and we're out of money, including the $300 she promised me. WTF. Her mother called and explained that Chloe watches the old film Drive. Because I'm just picturing it in my head. Sorry. She watches the old film Drive, puts on her Drive replica jacket, and then hits the road to find Ryan Gosling. It's a mental breakdown. Chloe views scenarios and films and plays them out in real life. Chloe's mom sent her sent her a Cash App for us to get a room and head back home, but Chloe insisted that we get a room and do strange things to earn more money. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Oh, Lord. Her descent into madness was thrilling to me. My problem
is... So you're also mad.
Exactly. My problem is... My problem is I enjoyed getting high in the casual prostitution. Chloe says she's renting a U-Haul and going back to visit Ryan in June, and she wants me to join her on the road. I'm afraid the street life is going to destroy me, but if I don't embrace the madness full throttle, I'll always wonder about what could have been. What to do?
You know what, girly pop? Do whatever you want to do at this point. Oh, that...
I told you, at no point in time was you going to know what was about to happen.
What a roller coaster.
And I wanted to get off at every
piece. When I'm telling you, as I was reading, and it was like, oh, it's Ryan Gosling. What?
I'm going to just say this.
In a replica jacket. What?
At least Chloe stands in her truth, right? Like, Chloe is not shy about the fact that she is a nutcase. Now, whoever wrote this, you're in denial. Because you're also off your rocker. And the sooner that you admit that, the sooner you can do whatever it is you're going to do that's going to make you happy. Because you're enjoying road trips and casual prostitution and living off of 13 cents. And you're trying to talk about, oh, it's Chloe. No, it's you too. It's you too.
You it's are crazier you. Than Chloe because you're it's just going you. Along with this.
Because as soon as she said, we looking for Ryan Gosling,
right.
We're doing what?
We're going back.
I would have collected
home.
My $300 and I would have caught the first bus ticket home.
Yo.
Because at that point, this is literally aiding and abetting. That's all I can think of. I was like, accessory to.
And I'm DMing Ryan Gosling the first chance I get. There is a crazy woman out here looking for you. You need to be on high alert. Because I can see if this was the first time that she did this, but her mom says she does. No, she watches the movie Drive. She then gets her jacket that is a replica from the movie and gets in the car to go find this.
This is how she spends her PTO.
Like, yeah, like she's
police. Help, police, help,
policia. What is going on?
I just don't like the fact that we tried to pin this on Chloe because she's not the problem here.
No, girl.
We know Chloe is mentally ill. She gets a pass in all of this. Like, she's crazy.
You knew Chloe was crazy before you accepted.
Right. You said she was a little mentally unstable. You knew. To an extent.
You like to make other people think that, like, this other person is mentally unstable because of the shit that they do. I'm sorry. Sometimes twin flames really do attract each other, and I think y'all two are just like, "I'll be your sugar rider,
literally
till the day."
Literally,
very much. You know, two most wanted.
I know that this is probably one of the least crazy parts of the story. But Drive replica jacket is crazy.
It's crazy.
But it's the fact that it's the movie Drive.
I put on my Drive replica jacket.
You know what? Now I need to look up what the jacket looks like.
You want to talk about niche? Like, specific?
Well, like, I guess when you're a stalker, you got to have like a niche.
Oh. Yeah, nah, she's crazy. It is a white bomber jacket, a white quilted bomber jacket with a giant golden scorpion up the back.
You've lost it. I've never even seen this movie.
I don't think I was like Drive. Huh. Okay.
Oh, like now I need to watch it because I'm like, what was Ryan doing in this movie for you to be like, this is it? I gotta go find him. I gotta get the jacket and I gotta go find him.
And then like, we're gonna do some. And mind you, I'm not judging the girlies, you know, with the light prostitution. That's not where my
worst part.
That's head scratcher is. Mm-mm. No, it's the fact that you're doing this so that you all can continue your quest to find Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
That. And the fact that you had no money, so you had to do this.
Like, if you going to. That
is where I'm like, oh, okay.
If you're going to hit the streets, do that. Sex work is work. Live your life. However.
House and ever.
We got to think about the reason for the season.
Exactly.
Ooh, that was a ride. And to be like, what would happen if I didn't do it? Ooh, I don't know. You live a safe, regular life, maybe?
She was like, I'm a wonder what happened. You're not dead.
You're not
in jail for stalking Ryan Gosling.
That's, again, Ryan, if you're listening.
You are in danger.
Keep your eyes peeled, friend.
One eye open when I'm sleeping.
Like, Ryan Gosling. I don't know why you listen to this podcast, but sir, you are in danger.
Ryan girl.
But my God, Ryan girl, you in danger.
Run.
Child.
If you ever meet a fan named Chloe, you get out of there quickly.
With a Drive replica jacket.
If she got the jacket, if you meet anybody with the jacket, you need to move expeditiously.
Because I'm going to tell you, Ryan, I feel like I'm a regular Ryan Gosling fan, and this is no shade to your. There's no shade to your work. I've seen Notebook a few times. Loved you in Barbie. I've seen some of your other films. I've never seen Drive. Yes. So if I asked you to sign my Crazy Stupid Love poster, my Kenneth sweatshirt, my copy of the Notebook, that's normal.
That's regular. If anybody
approaches you with Drive merch, this is. This is strange. I've never even heard of this film before, and I'm so sorry, Ryan. It couldn't have been that good. Couldn't.
It's
have.
The fact that like not like the Notebook, not like I don't know, Drive. Or what's the other one where he's Blade Runner, whatever that is. But
Ryan Gosling has a catalog, so if you coming up to this man with Drive, you've lost it. So as a normal fan,
he would think you lost it as well.
As a normal fan, you got to let it go.
No. Wow.
That was so funny. Any final thoughts for Chloe and Co?
That's a ride.
Pick a different movie. If you're going to be crazy, pick a different movie, girl.
Right. You ain't seen Barbie?
Justify it a little bit more.
Whoever the friend is, you're talking about some, oh, I'm just here for the ride. No, babes. You are the ride.
You are the ride.
You are the ride.
Like, you are girl. The problem.
What's up, you guys? Thank you so much for listening to Black Girl Roundtable. Dana here with a quick reminder to make sure that you are following us on our socials at The Bougie Black Girls on Instagram and TikTok. And also make sure you are following us on YouTube for videos and more soon to come projects from myself and the ladies of Black Girl Roundtable. Thanks for listening, and let's get back into the episode.
Alrighty, y'all. We are back with something y'all need to hear. It's already May.
It's gonna be May.
You didn't get. Okay, but yeah. So it's May, and May kicks off. I say between May and September, really May and October, if you're Greek or if you went to an HBCU, or just if you're into like football. Anyways. We're talking about cookout season, and within that sector, we're talking about Greek picnics, which are just really just cookouts, old school, new school, talking about like our pet peeves about the new and old and things that we like about them, things that we would do differently. Like if we had our dream black ass cookout.
Fire. Okay, so dream cookout. I guess I will say location is number one. Mm-hmm. So I know we all have like our family, whatever cookouts, and that's one thing. I'm going to talk more like social gathering, I guess, for this segment. And I say the place you pick matters. Like I hate when I go to like a summer event, picnic, cookout, whatever, and it's like the most rinkadink, raggedy park. Ain't no grass. It's just dirt. There's no shade. Yeah, no. There's gravel. Like, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be hot. I need trees. I need shade.
Or a good tent. If you have a good look, a little.
Yes.
Yes.
And I need to be able. 5x5
at least.
I need to be able to sit down, particularly if it's, you know, shout out to fam. And truth be told, because I'm a brat, really any of the frats, I feel like the sorority should be able to sit down. Like, you should have a place for me to sit my bottom.
If you invite 30 people, you need to have a place where 30 people could sit at around the same time.
Yes.
That goes for the family cookouts. That goes for, now, I would say social cookouts, street cookouts. Have a place where at least half of your people can sit. Because, and also make sure you have enough food. Create three lines for food. Create three food stations. Fraternities, can you hear me? Create
they can't
at least three stations for food. I should not be standing in a line as long as the Great Wall of China waiting for some chicken just to get up in that bitch and y'all tell me that it is gone.
It's not even that. Don't wait until we know everything start happening at 6 o'clock. Don't wait till 6 o'clock to put everything on the grill. Like, why?
Oh my Thank God.
You. Thank why? You. 8 o'clock, I hear crickets and the food is still
and the food's still not done.
And Brother Maurice is still cooking the chicken.
And you need to have more than one person who knows how to work the damn grill. Why is it that it's a chapter of 45 of y'all niggas and we got spring 09 to spring 2020? Fuck, what year is it? 2024? And y'all got one motherfucker who can throw in a grill. But meanwhile, when a stroll song comes on, oh, all y'all out there. So everybody know how to stroll, but nobody know how to use the grill?
Craziness. Uh-oh.
Now, for us princesses, you know, you don't have to wait.
I don't need to know how to. I don't need to know how to work.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
No, but no, even no, if no. that, but no, I'm not even trying to hear that because there's always food at the AKA plot during our homecoming. So I'm not trying to hear that. When I come up and be like, "Where's the ribs?" A rib should appear
I need
on
to
my
just
plate.
Be directed to it them, should. Or it needs to be handed. Immediately.
Yep. I want to get to show the up.
I want to get to the plot, and y'all are like, "Dana, you want a plate?" Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Thank you
kindly.
I don't care if I'm the first or second person. I just don't show up nowhere and y'all are just putting coals on the grill. That's gonna blow. And this is again for Greek picnics and for our home cookouts as well.
If it's your house, you need to have a game plan. Because if I'm coming to your house or your event, like your personal event, I'm not waiting. If you said the event starts at 2 and I get there at 3 and there's no food ready, I'm smacking everything.
I'm going home.
And then as far as a Greek picnic, y'all got Neos? Sorry, Jelena. But that's what the Neos are for. That's what the Neos are for. The shit starts at 2. Yeah. The shit starts at 2. The pros will be here at 3. By 3, the food needs to be ready. Or like
at least
in.
A little
common sense.
The like, first wave.
Common sense.
Yeah, give me a little appetizer, a little moosh boosh. If y'all don't go over there to the Popeyes and just get some just a big thing of wings, just so that you can have some and some pasta salad, just so people.
I made a pasta salad our Neo year. I say, here you go.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah. And similarly with the punch, you need to make enough punch.
I wasn't even gonna say that. Stop. Putting it in trash cans.
Stop putting it in trash cans.
I know that trash cans are big vessels. I understand that. But like they make coolers that are very large. Or just buy multiple coolers.
Or buy multiple coolers.
But like why is it in like the heavy duty trash can? I don't care if it's a brand new trash can. Like, you just went to Home Depot and washed out today. Yeah. I'm not drinking that.
I will never. Now I can't say that I've never drank in.
I'm not gonna say I never drink it. But at my big age right now,
yes.
I won't be.
Because I vividly remember the first time somebody, and I'm sorry to put the cues on blast, it's always y'all. Them. Listen.
And it's not even that. It's just, you just going to come up, where my cup? And you just going, whoosh, out the...
And then your whole hand that you just dapped up 10 niggas with, you could have go, group, group, here you go.
Okay.
No, I'm not joking.
No, because for real, when you start thinking about stuff like that, this man done hopped, hit a handstand, hands in the grass, spinning, dapping people up, picking girls up. You're
took the blunt.
You only have on a camo vest. And y'all be hairy as hell.
Sweat dripping down your goddamn hand. Oh. We thank God for the 21-year-old immune system, because
thank the Lord for the frontal lobe not being developed, because now I would be like,
ooh. I'm gonna hit the ground like a dead roach. Jokes.
We talked a lot about Greeks. I want to hear about we can get into the food, about our dream. We'll just go cookout, like family cookout, our dream cookout menu.
I hate to be this person. Maybe this is like a black card revoke thing. Maybe I should have said it on this episode. I don't really like cookout food as much as I feel like I should as a black American. Like, outside of a rib and a good hot dog, I don't really need anything else. If there's pasta salad there, I'll eat it. Another black card revoked thing. I don't like potato salad. I don't think I've ever verbally admitted that. I do not like potato salad.
I literally did not eat potato salad until I was 25.
It's like, I've had it, I've eaten it. Does it taste good? I guess. Am I like, ooh, give me some more of that potato? No. I've never been I want more potato salad.
Here's my potato salad. And I'm going to agree with you halfway, right? I like potato salad, but the logistics of potato salad at a cookout to me has never made sense.
It's the same thing like the milk. This is a bad idea.
This is mayonnaise in 90 degrees.
I don't care if you put it on ice, if you put it in the cooler. I don't care.
Because it's going to be on my plate for a long time.
But also, potato salad also doesn't belong in any other venue but a cookout. And so for those reasons, I don't want it.
I think a baby shower.
I was just about to say that. A baby shower is the exception.
I'm not looking for the potato salad at the baby shower. For my family, it's only a like spring and summer holiday thing. So like 4th of July, Juneteenth, Easter. Yeah. Any random cookouts that we have. Family reunions are always in July. Like, and so that's when they pull it out, and I don't want it. And even like you're saying it for those other holidays, and I'm like, yes, it absolutely makes sense that it would be better in that setting. But I think I've been conditioned where like,
it's not supposed to be.
Most black people are conditioned. They think of potato salad, they think of the summertime. And I completely understand that. But to me, having it in both seasons, to me, I feel so much better eating it in like the winter than I do the summertime at a cookout where it is most likely going to be outside.
The only thing I need at a cookout is a rib, a good rib. And I want a hot dog, and I need you to burn it to the crisp.
I need it to be black.
Barbecue.
Do you hear me?
Like, so sorry, y'all. Light skin food over here only. So sorry.
Jelena doesn't even like real toast. If you ever want to get angry, ask Jelena to make you a piece of toast.
I'll make other people's toast regular, but if you hand me a piece of toast that is any darker than my complexion, I'm not eating that.
So if you want bread,
it's lightly toasted. No, because if it's not, first of all, if you hand me a piece of toast and it's not at least like a little, take that back.
But that's literally all she wants. Like if you touch it, she just want to be able to squeeze it.
It's a little brown. It's a little brown.
I've never been so irritated in my life.
It's a little brown.
But like, I made some toast. Where is the toast in the room with us right now?
Alone. Yes, for me it is. Make your own damn toast then. But for a hot dog, if there is any part of black on this hot dog, we are going to have to sit here and just
That is blasphemy.
The minute I taste the burntness, it just ruins my day.
It's the best. That's the best part.
That crunch. It's the
difference between crunch, crisp, and burnt.
No.
There's a difference.
Yes. If it is the difference burnt, is
no.
It's good. It's good like that. And you put like the I don't like sweet. I don't like bread and butter relish. I like dill relish more than I like the sweet. I'll take both. But like the crunch of the hot dog.
It's only funny because Dana knows I don't eat nothing. So like, you say relish lost me.
And the ketchup
lost me.
Mm-hmm. Dana eats cheeseburgers mm-hmm. with bread and ketchup.
And bread, cheese, and ketchup. I'm not putting, don't put nothing
which
on my
food. Which is crazy to me.
I don't want nothing.
I'm with Asha on that. Burn the fuck out of that hot dog.
Burn it.
And I just want a little bit of ketchup because that sweetness will cut through like the bitterness, I guess, of the burnt part. And when I bite into it, I want it to be black on the outside and you see that pink hot dog in the middle.
On the inside?
I'm good. I'm good.
It's levels. Like I said, it can
and
be
And don't
crisp,
put all, don't cover the ribs, all of them, in barbecue sauce. Sometimes I want barbecue sauce.
I like mine.
Sometimes I don't.
I want it. I'm the same way. I like mine dry with my barbecue sauce. Again, I'm very particular about my food. So I like mine dry, a dry rub with the barbecue sauce on the side.
Let me control.
Let me determine. Yeah, let me control it.
Let me control the sauciness.
Because some of y'all be dousing it in barbecue sauce, and now it just tastes barbecue sauce.
And all barbecue sauce isn't created equal. So if you got nasty barbecue sauce, I'm mad that you've ruined this delicious rib.
Mm-hmm. And I get that everyone does not like barbecue sauce the same way I do. I like my barbecue sauce a little bit more on the vinegary side. I know some people like there's more like the sweeter tang, not like the sweet like real thick sauces. Y'all can keep that shit.
Yeah.
I don't want that. And if the Sweet Baby Ray's, I don't want that.
No. If you're going to do Sweet Baby Ray's, there's a certain kind of Sweet Baby Ray's that I can do. But again, I want it on the side. I don't need y'all to douse my rib.
How do y'all feel about people who put barbecue sauce on like the other meats? Like people who put barbecue sauce on their hot dog and on their, like as they cook, I'm saying. Not like, oh, you're doing it on your personal plate.
And the hot dog, go to hell.
Depths
of hell.
Okay.
On the chicken, I'm still irritated, but I'll allow it. And on the rib, I'm irritated, but I'll allow it. If I come up to the grill and it's barbecue sauce on the hot dogs, I'm picking up one of the coals and throwing them in your face.
I've been places where people do that, and I just was like, I'm gonna eat it because I'm hungry and there's nothing else here.
And
but
I would,
like,
and I honestly would prefer, because just again, this is how the way that science works. I would really, really prefer if you all were to put the barbecue sauce on the chicken almost when the chicken is done.
Yes, as a glaze.
Because do you consider mac and cheese an acceptable cookout food, or do you think that should just stay in the winter months?
No, I mean, I like macaroni and cheese, so I will take it wherever it goes.
I'm not mad if it's not there, but I would like it if you have it
like
and it's
it.
Good.
But people are like, oh, it's like, it's not a cookout. It shouldn't be a cookout food. And I think mac and cheese, if it's good mac and cheese, it's a great cookout food.
Now, if somebody was like, Dana, you're having a cookout, and are you going to make mac and cheese or macaroni salad? Pick one. I would probably make a macaroni salad because, again, it's seasonal. I don't want a macaroni salad all year. But if we can have both, why not?
Okay, my time for my black card to be revoked. I don't like macaroni salad.
I love a macaroni salad.
It got to be immaculate. I would just prefer pasta salad. I prefer pasta salad. And I love pasta salad.
I prefer a macaroni salad over a pasta salad.
Wow.
Yeah, I do.
Interesting. I've never heard that
So
one.
Now my question is, why will you eat macaroni salad but not potato salad? Because it's like missing like one ingredient.
Basically. Because
like
the same
because
components.
No, I'm not saying it to come for you because I'm literally
up until recently.
Same boat. I'm just curious.
So macaroni, so one, it's a texture thing.
Okay,
like
that makes sense.
Potatoes, like the mushiness of it. I think that the structural integrity of the macaroni noodle holds up against the pressure of the sun better than the potatoes do, in my opinion. And I think macaroni salad is the bridge between potato salad and pasta salad. And I like it for that. Like, at least for me and my family, the way we make it, my macaroni salad, like when I make macaroni salad, it is basically a pasta salad with a bit of mayonnaise in it. So it leans a bit more pasta salad. Like, it's not like potato salad. You got to put some mayonnaise in this bitch.
Yeah.
Macaroni salad, you can get away with doing like just a little bit of mayonnaise and some other kind of lubricating whatever, depending on the ingredients. I also do a seafood macaroni salad, which is like,
which is wonderful. Just, I will take
it now. I will say, summer to me. Shout out to Mama Bird, Mama Moan, Diamond's mom. She makes a banging ass seafood salad. I ask for it every time.
Yes. Yeah. And maybe I'm conflating the two, because to me, like, a macaroni salad and a seafood salad are like synonyms in my family. So I can see that. That's what I want.
Yeah. No, okay. I think
did we so, get like, to all the shrimp foods? And the crab and yes, I think we hit them all.
We hit most of the cookout foods with the chicken and the I'm trying to think if there's any other. Oh, corn. Yeah, you gotta
have corn.
If you have corn after your cookout, you are MVP in my eyes. Okay, so let's get to music. We're gonna quickly just talk about music.
Hire a DJ. It's 2024. Stop really having it. People on the aux. Like, it's really irritating at this point, because no one's ever gonna agree. People calling people. Right. That's it.
Hire a DJ. It's not worth it. And make sure your DJs for women. I say this for every event. It does not matter. Wedding, homecoming, picnic, whatever, regardless of the age demographic, your DJ needs to cater to the dominant age population of the women at the event, because the men are not going to dance unless the women dance. So DJ for the women.
But it's also for the DJ. Don't talk too goddamn much on the goddamn mic. I didn't come here to hear you.
Or having too many drops in one little section of the set. I don't want to hear 50 million air sirens. Mm-mm. I don't.
Mm-mm. Unless you tell somebody your car's being towed, you don't need to be on the mic.
Or it's an emergency. Like, please stop.
And sometimes let the song play. I'm tired of hearing the first verse and like 30 seconds of the chorus, and then it's over. And you got one time to run it back. And y'all, and particularly y'all do this for Bad and Bougie for some reason. We go raindrops, drop tops. Da 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 da. My bitch is bad and bougie. Do raindrops, drop tops.
I hate it.
Raindrops, drop tops.
Yes, but stop, in the same breath. Also know when to cut the song off, because certain songs don't need to be played all the way through either.
And stop skipping Lil Uzi part in Bad and Bougie while we're at
it. Oh my gosh, yes.
Because I need to hear, now she won't fuck with my crew.
But yeah, no. So I feel like, for these cookouts, hire a DJ. And even for these, if you got the money for like your family's cookout, also maybe hire a DJ if y'all got the funds like that to do so.
Please.
Jokes. Ooh, I think that is a great place to wrap up this episode of Black Girl Roundtable. Outro info is going to be a little bit different this week. We are doing some renovations. So if you are checking out the website, if you're checking out our socials and you see some things moving and grooving, that is why. So please stay tuned for some updates as we kind of revamp, refresh the brand. Still same show name, still same great things per usual. One thing that will not be changing is where you can access the podcast, which is all major streaming platforms. And if you're listening and you have not given us a rating, please, guys, we do this every week. Give us a rating, share the podcast, subscribe. 5 stars is what we need. It's what we deserve. And if you don't feel like you can give us 5 stars, keep those other stars to yourself.
Yep, just don't rate it.
Just leave us be. Or just rate us 5 stars because, you know, A for effort, and we deserve it.
Right.
You know? And honestly, if you got this far in the podcast, if you got this far in the episode, you know it's a 5-star show. Like, be so fucking for real. Be so serious with yourself right now. We talked about not lying. Jill Scott needs to stop lying. Amanda Seals, Drake need to stop lying. And you also need to stop lying. So give our show 5 stars. That is going to be it for this week, and we will see you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye.